Ya Allah, grant me anything that is most pleasing to you. Ya Allah, grant me anything that is most pleasing to you.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madinah, welcome to another series of behavior issues. And inshallah, we've been discussing many things regarding behavior. And inshallah, we have a very interesting topic today, and that is classroom behavior. Inshallah, before we go on to our topic, inshallah, let's listen to a blessings of durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Tariqat Amil Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya writes in his book Fazanit Sunnat, the chapter Excellence of Hunger. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, without doubt, your name along with your identity is presented before me. Therefore, recite salat, durood upon me in eloquent words. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of my channel, so today's topic is classroom behavior. As you're aware, a lot of the things occur with the child when he is in school and when he is in the classroom. What he learns in classroom, how he reacts in classroom, how his company is in classroom, and when he comes home, these sort of habits, these sort of behaviors are put inside his mind and inside his nature. Inshallah, we've got Dr. Saab with us, inshallah, Azawajal. We will be learning regarding classroom behavior. Dr. Saab, alhamdulillah, as you're aware, classroom is one of them places. A lot of things are adopted, new things are learned. The children spend a lot of time in school. And from there, they adopt a lot of habits. Sometimes it could be good habits, but majority of the times these are bad habits. And they come out from the classroom, and these type of reactions are taking place in their homes, amongst their family. It starts from this little box room, you can say, the classroom, where they spend a few hours of the day in this. So where does it all start from with the classroom behavior? How does it start with a child behaving bad from classroom?
First of all, as we know, the importance of classroom in this day and age, in sort of modern era, school and madrasa, they are the two institutions where children actually learn the skills of life. And looking at it from a psychology point of view, you've got a teacher who is an authority figure. And all of us need authority figures in our life, whether we are a child or we are a grown up as well, to keep us on the straight path. And classroom behavior, the other thing is obviously we take effect from our environment. And children, when they go into the classroom, this is an environment where there is a lot of interaction taking place. And children will absorb that. And all the parents will agree with me that when their child, who may be very well behaved, goes to a nursery, goes to a school or starts the madrasa, in the first few weeks, they will notice that there are certain behavior changes in that child, which, as you mentioned, that may be sort of negative. However, the first and foremost point that I would like to make is that unfortunately we are framed to think negatively. The children do absorb positive behaviors from these as well. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, our mind does not perceive those positive things, whereas we are more inclined to focus on the negative behavior of the child, and we tend to pick that up more, and we think that is what is actually happening. However, there is a lot of positivity as well, whether it is a classroom in the madrasa or classroom in the school or other educational institutes.
And that's one thing here, you're talking about positive side. Now, even the parents might be at home, the viewers of Madani Channel might be sitting at home, they'll be thinking, okay, what does our son come with positive? Which part of positive has he come home with? So can you mention anything positive which the children probably picked up from school or from the classroom?
Well, I mean, for example, I'll talk two different experiences here. If we are open to receive positive behavior of the child, we will definitely notice it. For example, the child may come from the madrasa and he may say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. However, I may be busy in my mind thinking about something else. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, in the madrasas of Dawat Islami, children are taught many etiquettes of eating, many other etiquettes of how to lead their life according to the beautiful teachings of Islam, according to the beautiful practices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, because we haven't got the knowledge of that, the child may be doing those things or trying to do. However, we ignore that behavior. This behavior, good behavior, does not register in our mind. And the child will eventually, as he's not being rewarded, like we've learned in the conditioning, that there is no praise, there is no reward, there is no appreciation, and the child will stop doing that positive behavior. Whereas contrary to that, if he's done something, he's got angry, he may be angry for another reason. Mm-hmm. But we will blame that angry behavior on the madrasa environment or the class environment that he's actually picked that up from other children.
So basically a lot of it is our mentality over this. When we see the child, we only, and it's actually a fact, and it's something for the viewers of Madani Channel, that when we see our children behaving bad, we put it down to others, we put it down to the classroom or whatever. And when we see him behaving good, you know, it's like normally an argument happens in the house when a child does something good. The mother of the child, she says, oh, he's got my habit. And the father turns around and he says, no, he's got my habit. So
you obviously get into a completely different, you may start a third world war in your house. Let me give you an example. I mean, it's a real life example. Imagine, obviously, that although this is, the child's getting ready to go to madrasa or school. And as you know, that the time is very, we leave things till the late. The child's getting ready and you are getting ready to go to work as well. You need to drop the children to school. You need to finish your breakfast and the children haven't had their breakfast. And it's all this rush environment. Now, the child tries to put his socks on. So what he's done is he's put one sock on right, but the other ones are wrong, which needs attention. And now, if I go to that child, what am I going to do? Mostly the approach will be, we will focus on that sock that he's not put on right. We may shout at him. We say, what is this? You know, this is not the right way. How many times I've taught you and you're still not able to do it? And we may obviously shout or do something else which makes the child actually upset, and he may cry, and this then affects the whole of his day at school or at madrasa. Now, that is one example which is most commonly what would happen. Now, who noticed that sock that he put on in the correct way, which was a positive thing that he has done? The best approach would have been, MashaAllah, look how well you've done on this sock. You managed to do it very well. And that's beautiful. MashaAllah. Well done. Madina, Madina. That's how I want you to do the other sock as well. You tried on this and you succeeded. Let's have another go.
I personally, Dr. Saab, I don't think, like you said, this makes even someone like me reflect. And it's a reality. We don't correct them in the right way. First is, You shout at them, right? Why is this wrong? Why is this done wrong? We've told you many times. But like the example you use, mashallah, beautifully, is looking at the positive side of things and then teaching them this is how it should be done.
And I think, I mean, this is the classroom behavior. Now, I have obviously some experience of sitting in the classroom for a number of different reasons. And what do we see the teacher or the Qari Saab doing? Now, obviously, we are here to mention the pick up the negative things, okay? Yes, I mean we can focus on the positives as well, but this silsila, for the aim of this silsila, we are trying to actually highlight that what effect the negativity has on the mindset of the child and the mindset of the teacher as well. So we have to pick out these negative things. The viewers of Madni Channel shouldn't think that it's only negative things that happen. So what happens is, generally speaking, Qari Sahib will be making statements to children like, why are you late? Or your clothes are not neat and clean. Or your hair is not combed. Or your chadars are not obviously ironed properly. They will be picking up. You don't know how to sit. Can you please read your sabak? Don't look here. Don't look there. Don't speak to him. All the time the Qari Sahib is actually picking up this negative behavior. And this is what the children are registering on their mind. This is wrong. This is negative. This is negative. This is negative. And the children, what they actually need to know, they need to know, someone needs to tell them what is the positive behavior, what is the right thing. So, for example, rather than every day telling someone that, why are you late? He's not going to get on time. Obviously, there are multiple factors why a child gets late. But what you could do, instead of saying, why are you late? Qari Sahib could say, another child, pick up him. Pick him up, I mean, mention his name and
he's
say,
on time.
MashaAllah, he is always on time, well done, and give him a reward.
SubhanAllah.
Now, what would happen? What would be the impact of this on that child who's getting late? He will go home and he will tell his parents, dad, mom, you know, so and so got rewarded because they were on time. I feel ashamed that I get late and I want to be on time. So that obviously I get rewarded as well. And this, you have not said anything to this child who is late, but you've actually picked up someone who does the good behavior. And I think this is a golden Madni pearl for all the Qari Sahiban, that, or even parents. You know, although we are addressing Qari Sahiban classroom behavior, but the home is a classroom environment as well. Mm-hmm. The parents are the biggest teachers of the children. So, the aim is that if a child has done something wrong, then there is the right way of doing it. Rather than pressing the child on the wrong stuff, you say the right way to do it.
And normally it's seen when you reward a child, the reaction of the other children sitting there, oh no, you know, he's been rewarded. I want to gain that. So it's automatically the child wants to gain that goodness from the teacher or that merit or that whatever reward it is. And it encourages him to do it. And next time he's preparing or he's getting ready. Alhamdulillah, beautiful Madani pools.
This is the mentality of Amiri Ahle Sunnat as well. What happens in our Madani environment? You know, that's a big classroom as well. In the Madani mahal of Dawat Islami, the teaching of Amiri Ahle Sunnat is that when someone comes and presents their karkardagi, their sort of what they've done and so forth, the performance record is shared, then those who've done well, they are rewarded. That's it. End of story. You don't name and shame those who didn't do things. What is the effect of this, that being rewarded, is that those who underperformed, they will automatically get their lesson or the sabak that, look, I should have performed better. Next time I should be here so that I can actually get that reward as well. Rather than if you name and shame them, they will actually get demoralized. Why? Because they have made an effort. Now, this is another thing that the parents need to know, is that the child makes small efforts and then eventually he gets to the big, goal.
That encouragement builds and he gets stronger.
Exactly.
And stronger.
So all these little things that the child is doing, the parents need to be rewarding them on that until he gets to the big aim, which is the ultimate goal. So it has to be broken down into pieces. So someone is actually making an effort.
It's like I've seen, we've had the month of Ramadan, and you know, the child when he first fast, the younger child when he first fast, and what you is normally done, I've seen it that nowadays, with the way things are, people actually bring a cake for him first fast of Ramadan and present it. And how happy it makes that child feel. And then that same child says, I'm going to fast tomorrow and I'm going to fast the following day. And alhamdulillah, this is a great encouragement.
And those memories remain with these children for the rest of their life. And they always remember these special occasions when they fasted for the first time and they got reward. And that's a very beautiful example that if we were to reward these little efforts of the children, but we tend to just focus on the major things. But it's a big mistake by when we ignore these small achievements that child is making, and especially those children, even in the classroom or at home, who do have behavior difficulties. And again, because we register in our mind that child as someone who is naughty. And from a psychological point of view, our brain then shuts down to register the positive things of that child. This child, who we consider to be naughty, who we consider to be behaving badly, I can guarantee you, he's also doing certain things which are good.
Definitely.
He's
definitely
also making an effort. He is sitting in the class at least. He's not running around all the time. So why can't, if the Qari Sahib could actually appreciate him and say, MashaAllah Azzawajal, today you sat for 5 minutes.
I think even if his appreciation is done in a negative form of, you're sitting down today, and instead of the nodding of the head, yeah, you're actually making him look like he's done something good, bad and good at the same time, you know.
Yeah, this is another mistake that generally people will make. They will appreciate and then they will mix in the negativity. They will say, yeah, you've done this, mashallah, well done. Other day you did it that, and don't do that. Never ever mix positive with the negative. If you are rewarding, just keep to the reward. Just stick to the good behavior. Because what would happen is, the way we are focusing on the negative, the child will not remember the reward. He will then remember the negative things. Like they say in our Madni Mahol, that if you feed someone with your own hands 99 times, and then in the end you throw the plate on their face, they're not going to remember those 99 favors that you've done to them. They will only remember that negative experience. So whenever we praise a child, we need to make sure that at that time we do not mix any negative behavior or misbehavior.
Rafsab, just one side here. Alhamdulillah, some of the things which we learned. But see, it's also the teacher, it's very difficult for him. If he's been picking on someone, or if someone's without thinking in his mind that this child is naughty, this child misbehaves, how can the teacher remove this? Who's overlooking this child? How will he able to clear his mind or try to be positive with that child when he sees so much negativity from that child?
Now, teaching is a profession. It's a very noble profession. Every profession has got skills of its trade. And for a teacher, I think it is a very, very important skill that you are able to delete the previous memories from your mind. What happened yesterday is gone. You come next day with a clean slate. What this child did yesterday, you actually need to come following day with a clean slate and just try to focus on the positive things. That's one thing that the teacher needs to have, that ability. Number two, children, again, they feel when their needs are not met, this will give rise to difficult emotions. Now, when it gives rise to difficult emotions, because children do not have the emotional intelligence to work out the what do I need to, what can I do and what can I not. Similarly, their verbal skills, verbal language skills, they may not be fully developed. Or they may be confused, how do I express my difficult feelings? So they will express these difficult feelings with behavior. The teacher needs to understand that this behavior difficulty that the child is presenting with, it is the end result of 10 other things. This may be problems with the child at home. The child may not have eaten, they may be hungry on that day and they've come. The child may not have had enough time to sleep. And very importantly, especially for the madrasa environment, the child has been to the school all day. They are tired. They are coming into the madrasa at a time when their mind's exhausted and their body is exhausted. In my opinion, and alhamdulillah, you know, this is one of the beauty of those countries where Islam is the dominant religion. I know that when I was in Pakistan, we used to go to madrasa in the morning.
Morning, definitely, first thing.
That's the religious, you know, concept. The you know, teachings of Islam, they are superior than, obviously, I'm not undermining worldly teachings because, you know, knowledge is knowledge, okay? But definitely the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the religion is superior than the worldly knowledge. And I think there should be a shift in this, whether it can happen in the European countries or not, but there has to be this shift that we actually teach our children the knowledge of deen at a time when their mind is fresh and their body is fresh. Then there are all these other problems, especially in this modern day and age. Children may be being bullied at school, cyber bullying, knife crime, then parental disputes, financial difficulties. There may be self-esteem issues. The child has had difficult experiences in their life. They're not confident. They socially cannot engage with their students. So the teacher, it is a professional sort of skill for the teacher to be able to have in their mind that these could be the problems. But unfortunately, the teacher may think that this child is actually misbehaving for no reason or misbehaving to take revenge on me. Remember this. The child does not present with difficult behavior for no reason. There is always a reason for this difficult behavior of the child. It is up to the teacher, it is up to the parents, it is up to the other authority figures to be able to identify the what could be the reason. Yes, it is time consuming, yes, it can be difficult, and the time constraints may prevent us from doing that, but at least give this benefit of doubt to the student, and then your whole reflection will change on this.
So just one thing here, I want to get the views of Madani Channel involved in this, is that you mentioned that a child does not misbehave without a reason. And mashallah, for the views of Madani Channel, this is a very big thing to notify. And it's something we should all try to notify, that a child does not misbehave without any reason. So there is a reason behind it, whether we know it or we don't know it. Alhamdulillah, this is why we are having these silsilas, where we are able to pick up this type of mindset and understanding. And this is, mashallah, very important to gain, Dr. Saab, regarding this behavior. With the classroom behavior, Dr. Saab, you have children who adopt things from other children. So if, for an example, if a one class is involved in any pacific action, if like, say for an example, the class is involved in, they all involve in football, in sports, you find the rest class involved in sports as well. And if the one class is involved in fighting and this type of things, you normally find the whole class involved in it. Why is this?
The human nature is that we can get easily influenced by those individuals who have the power to influence. You will always find certain children, obviously we are now talking a little bit, more developed children, slightly aged, 10 plus
second,
and so
secondary
forth.
School, so.
You will find certain individuals who have got good skills to express themselves, and they've got good skills to actually attract others towards something, whether they use it as an influence or whether they use other mechanisms. You have only got two options. Either you will be able to influence someone else or you get influenced by others. And you will notice that there will always be a one or two or maximum about three people of certain mentality, and they will then be able to draw these others with them. By, you know, acting as someone who is either the leader of these. And you will follow them. Unless you are so strong that you can resist those temptations. But when you have a group of people, three or four, now you've only got two options. Either fit in that group or face the consequences of this. And the consequences will be in terms of bullying, consequences will be in terms of physical abuse, emotional abuse, financial abuse. You get ostracized. Your whole life, if you are not going to join that group, will become very difficult. And I think this is what happens in the school environment mostly. Because in the school, there is a free time as well where children can exert their influence. Whereas in the madrasa environment, the qari sahab is there. It's only a brief period of time. However, you still see, observe many of these activities happening inside madrasa. Children are so clever. That they know exactly what are the places in the building where we could do something and not be noticed. And many different types of transactions and exchange of goods and the items are taking place inside the madrasa, and they exploit these weak areas. And unfortunately, you cannot, fully secure any environment to an extent that, you know, you keep it sterile, then nothing can happen without your knowledge. Unfortunately, that's just, in reality, that's not possible.
So moving on to this, you know, where you said that you have a group of people and they, you either join them. What you find is some of the weaker people who are not joining them, they are always there as try to defend them as well, try to cover them up. For example, if a child, this type of group of people, they're missing class, so the weak people behind, they will always defend them in class. And this is something else which is created in their behavior because of the effect of classroom, because of the effect of the classroom they're in, the environment they're in, they involve in lying and they weaken themselves through these actions. How can some, we want to move on to that, how these children can be protected from this, how they can be saved from this type of thing.
What you're talking about and what we are mentioning is, you know, the word that I could use is called peer pressure, which is what everyone will be able to understand. And clearly, these children, even though they may not directly be part of it, but if they say or do something which goes against them, they will know. Why they will know? Because there are other people who will actually be keeping an eye on for them. And then these people will get into trouble. And it is through this trouble that then these other children who are not directly part of it, they feel scared, come forward. And the same actually applies to adults as well. Many times we know that someone is doing something wrong, but we cannot even go to the authorities with the fear that this will have repercussions for us. They may come and attack us and so forth. May Allah Azza wa Jalla guide such individuals who are so tyrant that other people are scared of them. And on the day of judgment, obviously, everyone will have to give account of their actions. We should all actually learn a lesson. And I think parents can play a significant role in terms of making the mindset of their children. And one thing that I would like to add here, it's about the environment and it's about the trust. Those children who will trust their teacher, they will be able to come and speak about a lot more problems and difficulties. How can the teachers build that trust between their students and themselves? It is about what I would say is positivity. Again, the same applies for the parents. If you were to praise your child, whether in your class or in your home environment, for something that they've done good, 5-6 times. For example, in the classroom environment, the qari sahab picks up 5 different children who've done at least one or another thing good, based on the good behavior that they are expected to do. For example, someone said, Jazakallah, qari sahab. And another person showed respect to qari sahab. One student was reading his sabak continuously. You can pick up on these 3 or 4 or 5 different things. And every day, appreciate or praise one child. And then make sure that you're not praising those particular children. You are then eventually, after 3 or 4 days, the whole class gets praised and every individual gets praised for something positive that they've done. And I can tell you that everyone has done something good and positive on daily basis. But whether I've been able to pick it or not, what this will do, this will actually, every child will begin to trust that teacher. And every child will begin to trust their parent because of this appreciation. And I can tell you that with the blessing of this, the whole environment in the classroom, the whole environment at home becomes such a pleasant one. And then even if a child does something wrong and you need to rectify them, even the rectification becomes so easy now because the child trusts you. The child thinks that you are their friend. And when you now approach the child and say, beta, you've done this the way you've done it, it should have been done this way. Don't say, don't do it this way. It should have been done this way. Dawat Islami mein bhi to aise hota hai, agar aap ye kaam yun karte, ye nahi ki yun kyun kiya. That if you had done this in this way.
Just the choosing of the
just
words.
Just choosing of the words. Take out no, take out don'ts, take out, you know, whatever negative verbs there are, replace them with a positive verb.
There's a funny thing here, Dr. Sabir. It just clicked in my mind. You said take out no, don't, right? If the child says these things, it's very offensive. But the parents are always using these words to the children. No, no, no. Right?
Very beautiful. You know, exactly just the way the child has said no to you. And how offended I feel as a qari or as a parent. It's exactly in the same way the child feels offended when the qari or the parent will say no to them. And this is the no is what obviously then leads to problem. And we discussed previously that you don't just have to say no there and then. You can use time as a factor. You can give them warnings to begin with that, you know, give them a choice. You got a choice. If you want to stop that, then good. If you don't stop that, then obviously this is what will happen. So it's again, you know, building that trust, keeping it positive. And once you got that trust, then inshallah, so many things will be better.
Jaisa, before I finish, to be honest with you, this is quite a big topic. I don't think to cover it in this short time we'll be able to justify this because a lot of things involved in this. But one thing I want to say is, I want to finish off with is that these things are happening in classrooms. A lot of the times the parents are unaware that this is happening. How do they become aware of this? And then what can they do as a role when they're finding their children are being put into the wrong classroom or the wrong environment in school? Or what's the reaction of the parents, how they should deal with this?
I mean, to be honest, parents just need to be able to listen to the child. And they need to have that relationship with the child that the child is going to come and tell them about this. And what happens is that the children in the beginning, they are telling lots of things to the parents.
Parents are not.
But the parents, either they listen initially or they are doing something else, they're not focusing on the child.
The child comes straight in the car, sits down, and the first thing he does is complain, but the parents are busy driving at that time or their minds are actually...
And parents say, beta, you know, what is all this? You come and first thing you do is complain.
Put your seatbelt on, sit down.
and so that's a big opportunity lost. Yeah, you are driving anyway. You're not going to be using your mobile phone. You're not going to be speaking to anyone. So why don't the parents first ask, okay, beta, how was your day at school? You know, did you enjoy anything that you enjoyed? Ask them that. And then you ask them that, you know, beta, what anything that went wrong or anything you were not happy about. Once you do that, the child is not going to come and immediately start talking. They know that their parents will ask them. And they will wait for that and then give a response. Now you are ready to listen to them. Now because parents don't give this opportunity, then the children, they grab this opportunity. They want to take and then because they don't feel confident that the parents will give them this opportunity, so they will take it in their hands and say, oh, this went wrong, this went wrong, this went wrong. And it's all the negative things that will happen. Whereas if the parents, the first thing they will do is, okay, when they pick the child up from the school, mother could say, okay, beta, how was your day? Mashallah, good. What did you enjoy? And ask about these things so that they are able to mention the positive things as well. They may have had 10 positive experiences, but only one negative. But if you don't ask about those 10 positive experiences, then you've lost the chance to actually frame the mind of the child as well. The better, look, this happened positive, this happened positive, this happened positive. Chalo, no problem. You know, if one thing negative has happened, we will see. But at least you had a good, happy day at school. Whereas on the other side, you've not actually given the chance to the child and he's mentioning negative. And you are thinking now in your own mind as well, this school's not good. This environment is not good. You will then get angry. Why is this happening? My child is always coming and complaining, and you will go and speak to the teacher, and they will say, well, actually, you know, we are very happy with his progress. And then you will make a fool of yourself. So, in my opinion, the parents need to have that trust. They need to listen to their children. And I think, to be honest, if I were to say, this is probably one of the most important thing of their life. And parents should take it as a priority to listen to their children.
So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madi channel, alhamdulillah, we heard regarding classroom behavior and the effect it has on our children. Just keep this in mind. Your child spends years of his life in a classroom, in studies. So the Madani pools which we learn today, the lessons which we learn today, communicating with your children, asking your children how the day was in school, and pointing out the positive things to them, listening to anything which could be harmful or cause them in putting them in a state or in a stressful state, in a situation, try to hear them out, listen to them, give them attention, and inshallah azawajal, you will able to not just improve their classroom time, but inshallah azawajal their lives. So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers on Madani channel, these are the silsilas on Madani channel which are there to improve ourselves, improve our societies, our method, our upbringing of our children. So keep tuned into Madani channel, watch Madani channel inshallah azawajal, you will benefit like this. You will again inshallah azawajal bring another great episode regarding behavior of children inshallah azawajal. So keep on watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Allah, grant me anything that is most pleasing to you. Ya Allah, grant me anything that is most pleasing to you.